that music doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. That means it's time to hear from Carter Carles from the South Bend Tribune, his ND Insider, Fighting Irish Football Recruiting Update on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett, Vince Sodario alongside. Sean Stiers has the day off today. And joining us from, I believe, the Lone Star State is our good friend Carter Carles. Carter, how are you today?
Great, yep. Still in the Lone Star State. Just enjoying the sunny skies. So, doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I think we're kind of having Texas weather right now. We're in the low 90s.
Hey, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, well, it's probably not as humid and miserable, so that's good.
What is it down there? Probably 95, 96 at this point?
Yeah, 95, 96. Luckily, I'm in Dallas. Houston gets really rough with the humidity, so not too bad.
People from Dallas are tougher than people from Houston. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that goes without saying.
Okay, but I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how about some Tyler Buckner talk? He is a highly thought-of quarterback recruit, a commitment for the Fighting Irish. He was a part of the Elite 11 workouts. There's been some video pop up about it. There have been some reviews of his play. So we're going to ask several questions about Buckner here in the start of this segment. So I guess, Carter, you weren't there, so we can only go by what people write. There's been a lot of people writing about his throwing motion is different. Some people questioning some of the things that he did. Maybe ranked 17th out of 20 at one point, and however they analyze the players, which I have no idea about. Is this anything to be alarmed about at all?
Well, it was very entertaining these past few days to see this uproar, because also a lot of the rankings, they based them off of their junior film. 50% of the rankings had to do with that. And then, you know, just the reporters I talked to that were there, you know, they had to sit up in the bleachers very far away, recording from their iPhone where you can barely see the details. I don't even think they could do interviews all week. Hmm. And then, you know, everyone on Twitter decides that they want to, you know, be a head football coach and thinks that they know what a throwing motion is and all that good stuff. So it's been kind of interesting, but I think the important thing to know with Buckner is, if you haven't seen him play, if this was your first time seeing him throw, the whole throwing motion thing, it's always been a little weird. It's not a motion that you typically see. I think last season, if I were to make a comparison, mm-hmm. it kind of looked like Tua Tagovailoa. I can't even say his last name. It looked like Tua's throwing motion, where it's just, you know, his elbow drops a little bit lower. But the encouraging thing is he's got a quick release, mm-hmm. and also the whole throwing motion thing is a big part of his game. He likes to release the ball at all these different angles. He'll throw sidearm, he'll jump and throw at an awkward angle, and he's shown that he's pretty good at that. I mean, I think when you have a risk taker like him, you can risk throwing interceptions, but you also can be rewarded with long touchdown plays. So I think the concern would be in the short term. You know, if he was the starter as a true freshman, are the mechanics, are the risks, are they worth it? You know, is this something that he can improve? Is this something that shouldn't be messed with? Because really, over the last few years, the whole off-platform, off-balance throw, you know, the awkward angles, that's been probably his specialty, and that's been what he's been focusing on. And so I think that's kind of a reason why you see these. And so when you see one throw out of context, you can't assume that that's the launch angle. That's where his arm placement will be when he releases the ball. Still think he has a long way to go as far as footwork, and yeah, even the motion could be improved and fine-tuned, but no reason to panic and you know, thinking all hell is broken loose. still a lot of time before his freshman year at Notre Dame, and I think he's doing the right things getting prepared for that.
That is interesting that these analysts who write these things are a long way away and they don't have a chance to talk to the players. So I think they probably should be a little more careful in their analysis that they are bringing forth, but that's just my little opinion. So let's just stick with Buckner here for a little bit. What else has he been up to this offseason?
It's been a really eventful offseason for him. Last offseason was really about him recovering from a torn ACL that he suffered as a sophomore. It was going to be his first full season as a starter, his junior season. And so he was recovering from that injury. He really needed to strengthen his lower body. He was really working on that off-platform throw kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he had his electric season, number 3 all-time in total yardage for a quarterback. Just an unbelievable season for him. And so now his focus has turned to being more accurate, being more consistent, being able to make a throw 10 out of 10 times and not 9 out of 10 times. And so he took up a new quarterback coach, Taylor Kelly, a 3D QB. He's former Arizona State quarterback who worked with Brandon Wimbush, which appropriately can cause room for concern. I mean, Brandon Wimbush didn't exactly have the greatest mechanics or turn out super great. So it'll be interesting to track that, see if he improves. But really the big thing for Buckner is transferring to another school. He transferred from the Bishop School in La Jolla, California, to a charter school in La Mesa called Helix. And the competition is expected to be way better. At the Bishop School, he only had like 18 teammates. He was, like, let's face it, he was facing like third graders out there. It really was not any competition for him. Not big of a much of a challenge for him. But at Helix, it's going to be a step up. They play some quality teams. He's got some talent on his roster, so he's not going to be expected to carry the full load. And then it'll also help him. And a big reason why he committed to this transfer was so that he could have AP classes that transfer to Notre Dame. So down the road, might be a guy that graduates earlier than expected, and this transfer could be why. But he's expecting to enroll a semester early at Notre Dame, and that'll be very interesting because being booked gone, the starting quarterback job will be wide open.
Which leads, Carter, to this. What should be our expectation for Buckner once he arrives at Notre Dame in 2021?
Well, it's really all going to depend on this season. You know, Southern California, it seems like a bad spot for COVID. And just you see USC now is planning to go to online classes this fall. Just not really encouraging signs. So does Tyler Buckner even get a snap at Helix this season? I don't know. And I think it will be very important for him to get that experience because the step up is going to be massive for him. It's great that he's enrolling early, but, man, I'm telling you, just comparing his competition last year to Notre Dame, it's you can't even make a comparison. So I think overall he's got the upside and he's got just the overall potential and tools that look better than the other quarterbacks on Notre Dame's roster coming up, Drew Pine and Brendan Clark. But the problem will be, where will he be at from a mechanics standpoint mm-hmm. and from an experience standpoint? Because if he doesn't get that senior season, I don't know if you can say confidently that he's going to be better than those two guys in year one. Ultimately, I think he will be better than both of those guys. Year one, I don't know. So it's also about what Notre Dame wants to do. Do they want to invest in the future mm-hmm. and give Tyler Buckner the reps as a freshman so that he's better prepared in the years that really matter, like his sophomore and junior year? Or will they want to win and maximize their wins as much as possible and go with a more mm-hmm. experienced guy? Lots to think about, and I think this season will really dictate where his future might be.
We are talking Notre Dame football recruiting with Carter Carles from the South Bend Tribune. A lot of Notre Dame targets committed elsewhere this week. Caleb Edwards, I noticed, he picked Georgia Tech. Any of those particular commitments surprise you?
Yeah, you had Dallas Turner to Alabama, Christian Lewis, a wide receiver, to Kentucky. But yeah, Caleb Edwards was the big one for me. He was someone Notre Dame kind of passed on earlier in the recruiting process. Defensive back recruiting, it's always a little questionable. So they circle back on this guy in the last few months. And just in talking with him and his family, seemed like all the qualities he was looking for were in Notre Dame. And, you know, obviously the allure of staying home was big for him too, but Notre Dame really wanted this guy, and it wasn't like he's this five-star guy getting offers from every major school. You know, Notre Dame should be able to beat Georgia Tech for guys, even the in-home, in-state guys. And so I think Notre Dame fans might be a little disappointed that they didn't get Caleb Edwards. Another encouraging thing is they still have a good shot at landing Jaden Slocum, a safety from the Atlanta area. And I would argue that he's even better than Caleb Edwards. It's really down to a few schools for him, and I think Notre Dame's included. I think when you look at the commitments right now, there's 11 commits at Notre Dame. One of them is a safety in Justin Walters, who is kind of your typical box safety, a guy who honestly could play rover. He can move down to that rover position. He's just got the tackling, the instincts, and just that hard-nosed style to his game that will make him a great strong safety or maybe move him to rover. You need to pair that with kind of a rangier free safety. You know, think of the Kyle Hamilton type, just the 6'2", 6'3", guy who's, you know, over 200 pounds and can really move and has those long arms. I think Jaden Slocum is that kind of guy and would be a perfect addition. We'll see what Notre Dame does with his recruitment. I don't expect it to end anytime soon. But, yeah, I think Edwards, big miss, but if they can get Slocum, then they won't be missing Edwards, that's for sure.
Carter, on Saturday, tight end Eric Olson is going to announce his commitment. Notre Dame is in the running for his services. What do you expect?
Eric Olson, I am expecting to commit to Colorado, and it's not a huge surprise. That's where he's from. He's staying in home. You're seeing that being a big trend with COVID-19 going on. But maybe the surprise is how open he is to taking visits elsewhere already. Talked with him earlier this week, and he kind of expressed that he got assurance from all the schools that he's considering, Notre Dame included, that even if he commits to another school, they'd love to have him for a visit. So I think Notre Dame will host recruits who are committed elsewhere this fall, just as a lot of other schools will. But more than usual, just because all these recruits are having to move up their timelines, a lot of these guys want to make their decisions before the season, but they're not taking all the visits they wanted to. So I think you're going to see a lot of guys that committed earlier than expected taking visits elsewhere. I think Eric Olson's a guy to watch visiting Notre Dame as a commit to Colorado. And Notre Dame, you know, they're not going to wait and play the backup option. They're going to offer other guys. They offered a guy from Ohio, Mitchell Evans, earlier this week. And certainly they've got a couple other tight ends they like. But they definitely want to add a second tight end this class, pair him with a commitment in Kane Barong. And so I like what Mitchell Evans has said so far. Just in reading some of his interviews, he's really high on Notre Dame, probably a top three, top four school for him already. Mm-hmm. And so if Olson commits to Colorado and doesn't visit Notre Dame, then I think Notre Dame is still in good position with Mitchell Evans.
Okay. Carter Carls from the South Bend Tribune, our guest. Last thing we heard from offensive line target Rocco Spindler, he got his schools down to five. Notre Dame was one of them. If I remember correctly, Carter, he still wants to visit schools before choosing his school of choice. Is he getting antsy at all?
I believe he's getting antsy, I think. Yeah, I mean, again, it was really confusing at the time because he always said he wanted to make his commitment before his senior season. Mm-hmm. But then once everything started to happen, he said, okay, I'm going to take my 5 official visits and then do that, even if it goes into the fall. And I didn't buy much stock into that just because of how much he always wanted to make that commitment before the season. And recruits, you know, they change their mind every day. And I think with the NCAA continually extending the dead period, it's just a matter of, well, man, like when are they going to be able to take visits? Now it's the dead period's through August 31st. So Rocco Spindler wouldn't be able to even visit Notre Dame until September 12th for the home opener against Arkansas. So I think he is reconsidering what he was saying the last couple months. I think an August commitment is very possible, and I think it's good for Notre Dame. I think he's already been to campus quite a bit. LSU, Penn State, Ohio State, some of those other top schools for him, I don't think they're a main player without having those extra visits. I think it really boils down to Notre Dame and Michigan. Still don't think it's clear cut like it was maybe in March and April. I was dead set on Rocco Spindler landing at Notre Dame. But all this craziness, all this unpredictability has made it a little bit different. And now Michigan is kind of even the odds a little bit. But I still think Notre Dame gets them, and I think it could happen in August.
Carter, where do you think this 2021 class is headed for Brian Kelly?
Yeah, lots of talk, obviously, with what he was saying in December about hoping to get to that top 5 distinction nationally as a recruiting class. Started off really hot, and you know, you look since October, they've only added one offensive recruit through a commitment, and that's a 3-star offensive lineman in Pat Coogan. Obviously, it the loss of Chip Long as a recruiter is felt. I would maybe argue in retrospect, just everything that we've kind of learned these last several months, you know, I think Chip Long was probably the best recruiter on Notre Dame's staff. He was really hitting his stride. You see the guys that he landed in the 2020 class, Jordan Johnson, Chris Tyree, Michael Mayer. He was big time. He works harder than almost anyone. And so losing him was big. To mitigate that, Notre Dame is really going to have to land some of these guys because there aren't tons of options right now other than maybe offering some more 3-star guys. The big guys that I think they have to get if they want to have a top 15 class when it's all said and done, offensive lineman Rocco Spindler, wide receiver Jaden Thomas, maybe you throw in linebacker Prince Cauley. Few guys, it's like a must-have for them, or else they might not even be in the top 20 when it's all said and done. And last year's class wasn't top 20 on 247, despite getting some of those top guys, just because it was a smaller class. I'm expecting this to be, you know, 18, 19, 20-player class. And so if they don't land those three guys I mentioned, I don't think they're going to be top 20. So, yeah, it's going to be very important. And I think it's going to be big on guys like Tommy Rees and Clark Lee, coordinators, being very involved in recruiting. Head coach Brian Kelly obviously needs to be involved. And certainly not doom and gloom just yet, though. If they get those three guys, it's a salvageable class, and I think you've got a lot to work with.
Finally, Carter, do you see any more informal visits to Notre Dame coming up?
Yeah, and by informal visits, it's, you know, obviously these guys cannot take unofficial or official visits where they're with coaches and players. But guys, you know, just like you and I, we can go to campus, walk around, not enter any buildings, and just kind of see what it's like. And you're seeing some recruits do that. The most recent one was Jack Nickel. He's a tight end from Georgia in the 2022 class. a guy that I think Notre Dame's in a great position with. He toured a lot of schools in the Midwest this week, Notre Dame included. And it'll be interesting this offseason and in August with everything starting back up. Will there be more visits in July? I could see it happening, but certainly there's been nothing talked about just yet. But Jack Nichol, you know, obviously that's just becoming more of a trend. We saw Tristan Bounds, an offensive tackle target, do that a couple months ago. I think it's becoming more common, and so it's certainly something to watch going forward.
Carter, what type of stories do you have coming up in the South Bend Tribune or IndyInsider.com?
Yeah, so I had a story with Eric Olson and just talking about what he might do this fall in terms of visiting other schools, and also touched on Tyler Buchner's week at the Elite 11 Finals and went into just why he transferred to a different school, what he's been working on this offseason, how the pandemic's affected him, all that. And so, yeah, you can check that out at IndyInsider.com.
Fantastic. Great information today, as always, Carter. Greatly appreciated. Enjoy a chicken sandwich at Whataburger on me, and we will talk to you soon.
Sure will. Thank you, Darren.
All right, thanks, Carter. Carter Carls does great work following Notre Dame football recruiting for the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com. He joins us every Thursday at 5:30. To talk about his specialty. A timeout and a My5 question of the day is next. 5:56 at Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT and live on the Sports Beat app.